Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC, with the Restaurant Guys.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis, how are you?
I'm well.
Yeah?
I'm well. It's December, though, so I'm tired. I have to say, you know, December is a wonderful time to be in the restaurant business. People are having a blast at lunch and dinner in the restaurants. You're part of it. A lot of people who come in once a year come in. And you know, the restaurant's decorated with poinsettias, but I'm tired. I really am.
Well, what I think sometimes people who come to the restaurants don't realize or you don't think about is, yeah, December is a crazy time for everybody. You're shopping. You have all these extra things that you need to do. You want to decorate the house. You want to decorate the tree. You want to take the kids out for snowball fight. It's snowing, so you got to shovel the driveway. All those December things that normally happen, except our business is like 100% busier.
Yeah. Well, and what we have coming up in this second portion of the show, Jackie Naylor is going to be joining us. She is a jazz musician, a wonderful jazz musician. We're going to play some of her music from her new album. She's doing a concert at the Crossroads Theater here in New Brunswick on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It's $99 a ticket. It's going to be an extraordinary show. The hotel across the street has some preferred rates for people who go to the concert. We have at our restaurants some packages to go with the concert as well. And the other restaurants in town also are doing some cool things on New Year's Eve. So she's going to join us in the second part of the show.
Yeah, don't make me feel like I'm looking a gift horse in the mouth here as far as December goes.
Mm-hmm.
I would love an added December in July,
yeah,
or June, some other time in the year. Two Decembers a year would be perfect.
I can be
exactly
tired.
Tired's not so bad.
As long as I pay the mortgage.
Busy is really good.
But before we go into the parts about New Year's Eve and talking with Jackie in the next part of the show, and we'll give away one of her CDs in the next part of the show too. How
great
about that? I want to talk about an article that appeared in the Times a while ago by Frank Bruni, who's the restaurant critic for the New York Times. And I thought it really made some good points. Now, you know, if you're the restaurant critic for the New York Times, that means you eat out 5 nights a week. You probably eat out 4 days a week, and you spend some time, you know, and you have to eat on your own as well.
I thought it made fewer good points than you.
Well, another thing about Frank Bruni is, you know, to be a restaurant critic for the New York Times, you know, use a grueling physical regimen, and it's basically eat, exercise, write, sleep. That's what you do. But he talks about restaurant speak, the language of restaurants, and he's annoyed by it. And I think he maybe is a little cranky because he's doing all that.
I think he's a little cranky.
No, he's getting out of
it. I got to tell you, I read this review and I said, ooh.
Well, here's the deal. Mr.
Bruni's a little cranky.
He talks about things like, he says, dining out nightly has taught me many things, including this. Nothing kills enjoyment like too many mentions of it. A triptych of canapes arrives and I'm told that proceeding from left to right is the best way to enjoy them. And then he, in an Ebenezer Scrooge kind of way, says, I'll be the judge of joy. Now, But here's the good point he makes, and he actually says that he doesn't know whether it's that it's getting worse, that this restaurant speak is getting worse, or that he's exposed to it all the time and it's really getting on his nerves. And I think it's probably the latter, because I don't think it's getting worse.
Well, I will tell you that there are certain things about this article that I agreed with. When you talk about restaurant speak, I think there are certain things that people in restaurants just they do it because of force of habit. They do it because they're trying to direct you one way or another.
Let's talk about what it is, and then we can talk about why.
Okay.
But he says, you know, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. We do enjoy coffee with dessert. It's a semantic pox, egads. But if you go to a restaurant, there is a certain kind of a different semantic that a waiter will use, like off-kilter pronouns, like, how are we enjoying things this evening? Kind of weird syntax. Do we have any food allergies at the table? Would the madam enjoy a glass of white wine with her bronzino? Sounds vaguely like a prostitute. But I've heard that, and we ask people not to do those exact things in our restaurants because they're kind of a cliche. But here's what I think, Mr. Pascal and Mr. Bruni. I think that this comes from someone trying very hard to be as polite and courteous as they can, and maybe a little more formal than they need to be. I can't really fault people for that.
Of course not.
I can, but I would correct them.
But yeah, in my restaurant, I would correct.
Don't call any of my patrons madam unless they are one, and then you still don't call them.
You know, though, he talks about, you know, the word enjoy needs to be eradicated from the language, and I worked for somebody who said you're not allowed to say enjoy 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
who
both
said
worked for the same person?
Who said you're not allowed to use the word enjoy in the dining room? And I thought, I don't know. It's not a curse word.
But here's the deal. They're not the reason that they're saying that person that we worked for and that Bruni is saying this is because it's overused.
It's overused. I understand.
Okay. Enjoy all night long. Get away from me. Okay. The other thing that he talks about.
And 15 people say it, not one.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for someone to get me take my coat to be like enjoy. The other thing that waiters do that's really kind of odd, but again, I think this comes from a good place in a waiter's soul. Is they say things like when you have made a selection, they'll say, "Oh, perfect, excellent choice." I'm like, what? And he makes a good point. He says, "If I'd chosen differently, would you have made an icky expression?"
I think sometimes they might.
Well, yeah, but you know, you and I have been to a lot of restaurants with the waiters where whatever you say, it's excellent choice. Yes, thank you. Excellent choice, sir. You know, very often it's meaningless, and frankly, I've already made the choice. You're not really helping me with anything.
Yeah,
why are you
course.
Congratulating me on my decision?
Yes, I agree. That is patronizing. It's patronizing for someone to say excellent choice. But at the same time, is it that bad to know that those are some of the items that the waiter likes?
But they're not.
I don't want to say enjoys because I don't want to get in trouble.
Because the waiter says excellent choice, whatever you choose, 99 times out of 100. Because if you're asking the waiter beforehand,
You order the steak tartare, well done. Do you think the waiter says excellent choice?
But nobody does that.
Incorrect.
No, but 99% of waiters who say excellent choice, in my experience, mm-hmm. say it all the time.
It's just one of those things that they say.
And, you know, it's different if I'm asking the waiter, you know, what do you recommend? What's good? What's bad? And you're giving me some guidance. But afterwards, sort of congratulating me, it's... Again, it comes from a good place. It comes from trying to make you feel good, but it's a little patronizing and over the top. And the other thing I say for waiters is, speak like you'd speak normally to. You wouldn't call anyone a madam in human life, in normal discourse.
I found the whole article to just be a little bit cranky on Bruni's part. He used one expression, when the waiter says, pardon my reach, and he says, wouldn't a simple excuse me be just as good? And I think...
Actually, that'd be incorrect.
Actually, if you said excuse me, you'd be grammatically incorrect.
But his point is, wouldn't a simple, oh, pardon me, be, oh, pardon my reach? You know, it just sounds like you're trying to be from Masterpiece Theater. There is a weird syntax.
But if my reach puts my elbow in your face.
But he's not talking about how you would say it, because that's something that you would say in the normal course of speech, because you're... but when you talk... But I think what it is young college students and waiters who aren't sure about the social milieu they're in, are trying to be extra cautious. And I don't think I can really fault people for that. And Bruni should, you know, he's getting on his nerves a little bit. He should relax.
The only time I can fault people for that is when it's insincere.
I got one story for you.
Okay.
I remember, and I'm going to have to go to break, and Jackie Naylor is going to be on the phone in a moment. But I remember that I went to Mondrian, when Dennis Foy was the chef many years ago, 1989, something
like
that.
It's a long time ago that Mondrian existed, so...
And there was this waiter who had this rich French-Russian accent and through the whole dinner, and it was a wonderful experience. And then I went downstairs, because the men's room was downstairs in Mondrian, and he was getting off his shift. As we were leaving, I said, oh, you know, I got to use the men's room. And I went, downstairs, and I heard him yelling at a guy in the kitchen as he was leaving with his coat on in a pure Brooklyn accent. It was all fake. And I thought, you know, that's really...
Make-believe. You know, if we have some time at the end of the show, we'll come back to this.
I think
he
was also affecting to be gay, and he wasn't just to get... because he wanted to fill that role. It worked, though. It worked, but it was insincere. All right, after the break, we're going to come back and talk with Jackie Naylor and hear some great music and hear about her concert right here in New Brunswick on New Year's Eve. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:16.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Jackie Naylor. Vogue magazine calls Jackie Naylor the new voice of jazz. The Village Voice says she has a sumptuous voice, a knack for scratchiness, and an ability to sweeten those bluesy bent notes. She has 6 albums to her credit, the most recent of which is Smashed for the Holidays, and she'll be performing in New Brunswick, New Jersey, right next to our restaurants on New Year's Eve.
Jackie Naylor, welcome back to the show.
Guys, thank you very much for having me.
So, Jackie, I hadn't read until recently that you had a sumptuous knack for scratchiness. Sounds very feline.
I know. I always laugh at that review. I must have had extra whiskey that day or something. I don't know.
So, Jackie, what's new in the last year? You did the concert right next to our restaurant at Crossroads Theater last year on New Year's Eve, and a year's gone by. You're back again. What's gone on in the interim?
Oh, well, it's been a really nice year, actually. We have been doing a lot more in Europe, so that's been fun, and especially in Germany, and we'll go back there again in about a month or so. And then, of course, we've made Smash for the Holidays, which was great fun to make and has been fun to be out promoting that that CD.
Can you tell everybody in our audience, some of our listeners don't know exactly what smashing is?
I know. This. I read a great review the other day. Someone said, oh, no, it doesn't mean that Jackie Naylor is, ankles up in the eggnog, which I think is great. I'm totally feeling that. And, indeed, it doesn't mean that. But, of course, it's a little play on words, because one of the things that we do is mix 2 tunes together at the same time. So, DJs have been doing this and calling it mashups for some time. But when we do it, we are doing it where the guys are actually playing, physically playing one whole tune, and I'm singing another tune. So in this case, I'm singing holiday tunes, well-known sort of holiday classic tunes, and the guys are playing often another tune underneath, like a rock tune. So that gives you kind of an idea of what we're doing with Smash.
Well, can I tell you something? When I first heard about that as a concept, I thought I was horrified by it. But, oh, I'm gonna hate that.
I were most of the musicians, by the way, that I work with that I brought the idea to. They were like, "That is the worst idea."
Well, and the thing is, though, all the jazz music, a lot of the reviews that write about this as a technique that you've really perfected yourself, which has got to be incredibly gratifying. But they said a lot of them say the same thing. Like, I would think that you couldn't pull it. It takes Jackie Naylor to pull this off.
Well, I have a really good arranger, and of course, I think you all remember Art Koo, and he's my pianist and guitarist, but is an excellent arranger. And suffice to say that there are a lot of bad ones that don't make the cut. I mean, we sit around laughing and coming up with all these things that could go together, and it takes not only choosing the right 2 tunes, but also putting them together in a way that's sort of intelligent as opposed to just completely silly and wrong.
Well, 2 things. One of the things we're going to be looking for from you, Jackie, is sometime in March for the Jackie Naylor Smashed Bloopers album. we're hoping that comes up. But in the meantime, so we can illustrate what we're talking about, let's play something off the new album. Why don't we play a little snippet of Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Great.
All right, let's listen to Jackie Naylor off her new album, Smashed for the Holidays, singing a smashed version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I think you'll recognize the other song.
Turn it down.
Better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Make an early, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay, that wasn't really hard to figure out what the other song was there, Jackie.
But I think we're all a little bit confused as to what made you think of that.
I know, it's very funny. Actually, that was one of the last smashes that we added to the album. I thought, God, we just need one more that's really obvious.
It's just great.
Like crazy. And Art came up with that one, and I can remember him laughing so much that he could hardly tell us what he had come up with. We were just smiling so hard.
Well, what I want to ask you, we have to take a short break, but what I want to ask you about is, yes, after having heard that, it's really obvious. But how in the world of human thinking does one put those two together and think, what would work You know, it's like the first guy that ate an oyster. Like, right. Like you get it after you've done it, but who ever thinks of it?
Well, he's crazy.
We're gonna take a short break. We're gonna come back and talk more with one of our favorite contemporary jazz artists, Jackie Naylor. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. The time is 11:25.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
Vogue magazine calls Jackie Naylor the new voice of jazz. We call her family. Jackie has 6 critically acclaimed albums to her credit, including the brand new Smashed for the Holidays. From the Wall Street Journal to New York Magazine to the Village Voice, the praise is universal. The Restaurant Guys present Jackie Naylor in a Champagne New Year's Eve concert at the Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick. Champagne at intermission provided by the extraordinary Lenobe family of champagnes. Dine before or after the show at one of our restaurants right next door. The beautiful new Heldrich Hotel across the street has preferred room rates for our guests, so you don't even have to drive. Spend New Year's Eve with champagne, jazz, great food, and the Restaurant Guys. For tickets, menus, hotel rates, or more information, it's 732-828-4444 or restaurantguysradio.com. Spend New Year's Eve with us.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi, and we're talking today with Jackie Naylor. She's a jazz artist who's going to be doing a concert at the Crossroads Theater here in New Brunswick on New Year's Eve. You can find out more about that concert by going to restaurantguysradio.com. You should come. It's going to be the best party on New Year's.
So, Jackie, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Francis and I have started the New Brunswick edition of the Jackie Naylor Fan Club.
We're the co-presidents. Yeah, we're the co-presidents. Now, and everybody should know that what we're going to, if stay tuned through the news, because in the second half of the show, we're going to give away 2 tickets to the Jackie Naylor concert on New Year's Eve. These tickets are $100 a piece, so $99 a piece, but with tax it goes over. So stick around. We were talking about the technique that you're known for, that is like the Jackie Naylor signature technique of smashing vocal tracks over classic songs, and we heard one, Lynyrd Skynyrd under Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and it worked. What makes a song, what makes you think to put one song next to another? Because in my musical mind, I would never in a million years think to even attempt those two.
Well, I think the short answer is that we think of tunes that are sort of very popular. You know, the more popular, the better, in a way, the smashing technique works with, because it's really the underlying groove. So I have sort of a list of grooves that I love, and then I have a list of a lot of songs that I love. And over time, in a kind of really a much more organic manner than we're kind of talking about here, they sort of emerge. I mean, it's like all of a sudden we might be doing one of those tunes and go, oh, let's try this. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But it's really about finding a good groove, especially a bass line, and then singing a song that I really love to sing. And so that's mostly how they come about.
Hey, why don't we listen a little bit to this classic tune, Unsmashed, by Jackie Naylor. And when we come back from the news, we'll talk more about some classic jazz, some holiday jazz, and the life of a jazz singer on the road. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. We'll be back after the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, 1450 WCTC. It's almost 11:30.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC, with the Restaurant Guys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys, I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
We're talking with Jackie Naylor today. Jackie has been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine, and Jackie will be in New Brunswick on New Year's Eve to give a concert at the Crossroads Theater. You can find out how to get tickets to that show by going to restaurantguysradio.com or on the State Theater's website. And if you want to try and get free tickets to the show, keep listening to the Restaurant Guys, and toward the end of the hour, we're going to give away two tickets valued at $99 each for New Year's Eve. So stick with us.
Jackie, we spoke in the last segment about how you do smashing of one song and another song, and you kind of smash them together. Then we ended the segment with Merry Little Christmas, where you did kind of a standard version of that, but more than standard, of course. And then you have your own original music. How do you decide which, you know, avenue you're going to travel down?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I really feel like they're all sort of equal parts of me. You know, I struggled with that for a while, and then I thought, you know, these are just great songs that I love to sing, and whether they're two tunes at one time, or whether it's an old standard, or whether it's a tune, you know, that I've written, it's really more a matter of like what sort of almost what kind of mood I'm in terms of when we put a show, you know, when I'm doing a show and putting a show together. But I like to have equal parts represented at whether it's on an album or whether it's at a show. I kind of like to have all of those parts of me represented.
Well, now, you know, one of the things that our audiences may not realize about you is you have these six albums out, but you also travel the world. You know, you and I met the first time in Spain.
Indeed.
After a bullfight, which was,
yeah.
You weren't bullfighting.
No.
I was at the bullfight. You were sitting.
That was you?
I was sitting there smoking a cigar. Another guy, much braver than I, was bullfighting. And then you
actually,
were
singing. Actually, whenever Francis gets into a debate with somebody, that's what they call it.
Very nice.
Funny. Different kind of bullfighting, no swords. But so you play all different sorts of venues. What kind of venues do you play? What are the different kind of venues that you play in, and how do you tailor your shows to different to the various sorts of venues you play?
Yeah, we do play a lot of different shows. Primarily, they're jazz shows in jazz clubs or in jazz festivals, or doing some sort of a private concert. We do some of that. That's where you and I met, of course, doing a private concert in Spain. And I really try and find out as much as I can sort of about the audience, if it's more of a straight-ahead jazz audience or if it's maybe a more contemporary jazz audience or if it's a venue where they really have no, you know, in Europe, for instance, things can be really much more mixed than they can here even. So in that case, I might even have different options for different spots on the set list. In other words, I might have two tunes listed there and decide right at the moment which one to do. But in general, we're doing jazz, and a large part of what I'm doing is jazz. And what I mean by that is singing jazz standards one way or another. I'm singing probably 70% jazz standards and then a third of tunes that I wrote.
Now, you've performed at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and I'm sure that, and I've heard many people say, it's inescapable to make comparisons with you and Diana Krall. And I remember the first time that I heard Diana Krall, she was like 18 or 19 years old, and Michael Bourne introduced her at the Monterey Jazz Festival. And what's it like playing a jazz festival? And do people make that comparison between you and Diana Krall? And how do you feel about it if they do?
Well, yeah, they do make that comparison much more about the way we look similar. And so I get that a fair amount. Sometimes even I get that when I'm not even singing, which is kind of odd. You know, people come up and think I'm Diana Krall, and I'm not even in that kind of environment, which is funny. But in terms of the way we sound, I don't get that as much.
Yeah,
I think we sound very different. And
but I mean, more career comparisons. And also you're two, I don't know, leggy blonde jazz singers.
Yeah.
From California.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that there is that comparison, but she's doing much more classical jazz than I am in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've strayed from the jazz path by mixing rock tunes in with what I'm doing, and of course by writing some originals. But I'll answer the Monterey Jazz question because it was that are sort of coming up. You know, that's such an honor to get to play that, and I'm sure that you know, Diana Krall would say the same thing, that it's just really an honor to play that festival. And, you know, it was, I always try and tell people it was such a magical night, the night that we played there. It was, it's outdoors and it's a special place, and they really pay great attention to sound and all of the details, and everybody there is there to really listen to jazz, and so it's a great experience.
Jackie, we alluded to this a second ago, but who are you listening to? Who are your influences? Who are the people who are in your CD player at home?
What a good question. Let's see. Well, I've got a little Mary J. Blige, and I've got some Aretha Franklin and some Chet Baker, and you can tell I have my iPod plugged in because there's going to be a lot more answers here than there would be if I had a 5-disc changer.
You're not listening to the iPod while on the show with us,
And then I really do enjoy rock people. So I've got some Zeppelin in there, some Al Green. So there's everything from R&B all the way back to people like Ella Fitzgerald. I don't think I go a day without listening to a little bit of Ella and a little bit of June Christie. So I like that real sort of breathy jazz sound.
I want to turn the conversation back to just a moment. Now, you're going to perform at Crossroads. Is that an unusual venue for you? I mean, Crossroads is kind of a funky theater. You've done it once before. What's it like to perform there and with, to interact with the audience there and to perform on that sort of a stage and that sort of a venue?
Oh, I love that room. I just think, you know, it's funny. I don't think of it as being very funky. I just think it's a great theater. We do a fair amount of theater things when we're doing festivals in particular. And I really love it. I mean, these are rooms that are built for people to be able to both see you and to hear you. And that's not always the case in a jazz club. There might be a big pillar there, or, you know, there might be some people over around the corner that can't quite see you, and you can't necessarily see them. Whereas I think a place like the Crossroads, it really is conducive to, especially being the size that it is. You know, it's like the perfect size, you know, to be a great theater, but also be very intimate feeling.
Well, if you want a chance to win a couple of tickets, stick with us after the break, and we'll give away a couple of tickets to Jackie Naylor's concert this New Year's Eve. But we're going to play for you now a whole song done straight for the holidays. We're going to play, it's from track 8. Actually, I'm telling the engineer as we speak, he's saying, what track? this is a straight Christmas song for you, so you get a feel of Jackie Naylor at the holidays.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mama's child is going to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, oh, to you.
I I think it's great that more and more restaurants are offering larger selections of wine by the glass. Unfortunately, I often find those by the glass wines flat or spoiled. It's been my experience that most wine preservation systems just don't work until now. The Vinfinity system was invented by Armando Luis, a mechanical engineer with over 25 years experience in the wine industry. Vinfinity has 3 US patents, but it's so simple I could kill myself for not inventing it first. Vinfinity creates a precise vacuum in the bottle that preserves the wine. Too much vacuum or too little and the wine is damaged. Vinfinity never needs gas and requires little maintenance. One Vinfinity system preserves any number of wines. We use just one system for both of our restaurants, and we're not alone. Some of the best restaurants in the country are taking on the Vinfinity system. The guest gets a large selection of wines by the glass in great condition, and the restaurant eliminates waste. Tell your favorite restaurant about it. If you own a restaurant, install it. Find out more at VinfinitySystem.com or call 201-988-5953.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi in downtown New Brunswick. We're talking today with jazz musician Jackie Naylor, who's doing a concert on New Year's Eve here at the Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. If you're from out of town and listening over the internet, you can get a hotel room right across the street. And if you would like tickets to Jackie Naylor on New Year's Eve, 2 tickets valued at $200, you can give us a call. We'll take the 10th caller at 732-545-9282. Dial in, and we'll take the 10th caller. You get 2 tickets to Jackie Naylor.
Jackie, I would like our listeners to get a chance to see you in action. Do you mind if we put a little bit of your shelter video up on the website, Restaurant Guys Radio?
Great.
RestaurantGuysRadio.com.
Absolutely.
You can see Jackie in action.
Now, that brings me to an interesting point. There's a lot. What is going on in the jazz world? I mean, you're an independent musician who's out there. And I hear a lot of talk about people saying, you know, that the jazz world is getting more and more corporate in the United States. And for years, you know, you're big in Europe. They say that and I was just in Paris recently, and I went to a bunch of jazz clubs when I was out there. And for a long time, Europe has been the center of original jazz, hasn't it? Or do you find that to be the case?
I don't know. I think Europe certainly has, there's a big respect for jazz there. So in other words, I think when we're playing clubs there, people generally tend to be very quiet, and people know a lot of jazz tunes there, which is very cool in terms of an educated audience. But I think we have great audiences here too, and I think that, you know, the statement you made about corporate jazz, you know, in some ways, though, is a good thing in that there's a lot more jazz out there. I think there's just so much music out there right now. It's great, you know. The fact that you can walk into Starbucks and buy a jazz album, you know, I think that's a great thing. I think people's ears are enjoying real musicians playing real instruments and people really singing, and I think that's great.
You think it's better than Britney lip-syncing?
Is that your official? But, you know, I think so, yeah.
It was a proud tradition started by Milli Vanilli, who really brought it to the forefront. And
I got to ask then, and no Britney songs underneath, you know, your new jazz?
We haven't done that yet.
Smashing with Britney.
That's my choices first. Yep.
You know, may come to that. Francis wants you to do the Bloopers album. I want you to do Smashing with Britney.
I like that.
Britney's got her own smashed album. We'll talk about that in another show. Now the Holiday album, though, is an interesting thing. I mean,
not really a jazz album in a lot of ways.
Well, but it is and it isn't. But yeah. The Holiday album, you know, that's only, people only listen to that 1 month a year. What did you think about that at all when you decided to do a Holiday album?
Yeah, we're hoping they listen to it year round. you know, we did think about that, and it's just an album that I've wanted to make for so long, and I actually really like Christmas music, so. I like Christmas music, but I like it being done differently. And so that was sort of the idea with that. And then there's tunes like you played the tune, the Mel Torme tune, you know, the Christmas song.
The Christmas song, yeah.
One of my absolute all-time, it might be my favorite Christmas song. And, you know, when we recorded that, we were just, Art and I sat in the room and played it one time through, probably about sitting 3 feet apart from each other, just one time through with a couple of room mics. And so I wanted to bring that element to it, as well as sort of this fun sort of smashing idea. So I wanted a little bit of the classic holiday music, and then I wanted some things that, you know, people might play a little bit longer throughout the year.
Well, you know, the thing about the Christmas album is I have to, you know, when we play music in the restaurants, because music is part of the oral landscape of a restaurant. We like to play Christmas music.
Is that A U R?
Yeah, A U R A L.
I let it go.
Thanks, everybody.
I try not to let anything Francis says go.
Lord Almighty. No, but part of the oral landscape is part of the experience of what goes on, and it's really hard when you have to choose your Christmas stuff very carefully, because when you play Mel Torme or Nat King Cole singing the Christmas song, I mean, it's great, but it reminds you of being seven.
Right.
And when you put on the Bing Crosby album, you might get Melikaliki Maka come on, and it just doesn't work with the, you know, the Andrews Sisters. And it's super fun, but it doesn't work. And this is sort of like a serious, laid-back Christmas album for jazz for adults kind of thing. And it's kind of funky.
Nice. That's great to hear from you guys, because I do think that Christmas music is a very... you know, people are very choosy about their Christmas music. You know, some people are like, don't mess with that tune, you know. And then you've got people that say, oh, God, please mess with that tune. We're so tired. We don't want to be seven anymore.
Okay, we're going to play a little bit of, when we talk about adult Christmas music, here's one of the original adult Christmas music tunes by Jackie Naylor.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Thank you, all of you who called. You freaked out the engineer a little bit for the free tickets to the Jackie Naylor concert on New Year's Eve. We have a winner. We'll be seeing you on New Year's Eve. It should be a lot of fun. And you'll be seeing Jackie Naylor on New Year's Eve. Now, this is a venue that we're playing for 300 people. We're going to feed them well before or after the show. What is it like to play on a holiday? Do you normally play on the holidays? I know that the year before you did ours, you had a gig in Europe, right? Is that correct?
Right.
And so what's it like to play on the holidays? It's kind of like restaurateurs. You work on the holidays. You work when other people are playing.
Yeah, exactly. I like to work on the holidays when it's a fabulous venue and there's going to be great food for us. I mean, that's really the answer there. You know, we definitely don't want to be somewhere where it's crazy and we're just like a bunch of just crazy people. You know, and it's loud and unpleasant and your sound system isn't good and all those things. We don't do those anymore. But when we have an opportunity to play in such a great venue and for nice people, it's a pleasure, really, to be honest. And I like to celebrate, you know, for the holidays, and I can't think of a better place to celebrate than with you guys.
That's really nice. And, well, you know, we should let people know too that there is a premium package that's going to be part of this concert. First couple of rows of the theater, dinner in one of the restaurants, room at the Heldridge across the street, and then for me the pièce de résistance.
You speak French. And the funny thing is, you speak French. Your name is Pascal.
An excellent choice.
Anyway,
the pièce de résistance.
That's where I was going. Is brunch with Jackie Naylor on New Year's Day?
Yeah, that should be fun.
So it should be great. I'm looking forward.
Sure,
to
Sure, Mark and I don't have to pay, so we're gonna enjoy that a great deal. And I have to say, Jackie, know that you in the last time you were on the show was before the last concert, and I told you that we had invented a cocktail called the Jackie Naylor, which has been written about by several food publications.
I had several of them.
That's what I wanted to say. What do you think of the Jackie of the cocktail that bears your name?
I love it. I mean, I think you guys did just a great concoction there, and I'm planning on having it again this year.
We are known for our concoctions.
After the show, I won't be having it.
Well, if you'd like to try Jackie Naylor, come to the Catherine Lombardi Bar. If you'd like to hear Jackie Naylor, go to her website or our website and pick up the albums, and come see her live on New Year's Eve. I hope that you join us for the celebration, and I hope that you've enjoyed this hour with us, the Restaurant Guys, and Jackie Naylor. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal. And She's Jackie Naylor.
We are the Restaurant Guys. WCTC 1450. The time is 12 noon.